Praise you, Lord. Nothing compares to you, Lord. Hallelujah. We stand in your presence. We stand in awe, Lord.
Yes.
Knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, nothing compares. No situation in life, no need, no want, no hunger, no thirst. Not only can't compare to you, but can't be answered except through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. I am the work of your hand.
Yes.
Therefore, I rejoice.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll say it one more time. I am the work of the Lord's hand.
Yes.
Therefore,
Amen.
I have every reason in the world to rejoice
yes.
in this.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If there's no other reason to rejoice, there's me. I am the work of your hand,
yes.
and I rejoice in that, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Nothing compares to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, if you all will be seated, we will continue in praise and worship and the study of God's Word.
Yeah.
I know you're ready for that. Well, y'all are more excited about you being the work of your hand than they were studying the Word. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, if you will, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Now, if we're going to stand in awe and say nothing compares, then we have to recognize that the Word is a man. Therefore, that man, God the Father, Jesus the Son, desires to impress on us some things this morning. You agree with that?
Yes.
Therefore, by the Spirit, He will attempt to do that. And you must make a determination by your spirit you will receive. Spirit to spirit. Spiritual things are spiritual things, right? So by your spirit, you must make a decision that you are going to be changed by His Spirit.
Amen.
All right, that's the prayer. You just said amen.
Yes.
So be it.
So be it.
We hunger and thirst for you, Father.
Yes.
Have your way today. Now, so I feel like we need to do this every time because anytime I turn to the book of Revelation, everybody says, oh, we're going to study the end times. No, we're not. Because in Revelation 1:1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So what is Revelation about?
Jesus.
Okay. Not about one day in the by and by when He returns and we're tippy-toeing on streets of gold, yada, yada, yada. You understand that none of that has anything to do with today?
That's right.
I don't care how true it is and how real it is, it can't do a thing for us today.
That's right.
Okay, y'all are lost. Heaven, we can't touch you today.
That's right.
Streets of gold have nothing to do with you today. You got that? I guarantee you, if you get hungry, you can't eat on manna from heaven in the future. You got to do it today.
Amen.
If I need something to walk on today, I can't wait to walk until I get on streets of gold. I got to walk today.
Amen.
Okay, that's what I mean by that. We got to have something to eat, drink, walk on, use, and live in today. That's why it says a revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, if you'll turn with me to chapter 22 now. Now that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am not talking about after we're all dead and gone and there's nothing else on the earth. Revelation chapter 22, and if you'll stand with me, we're going to revere Revelation. We're going to give honor to Revelation. Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to, for your benefit, I'm going to read one verse, then I'm going to let you sit down, and then we're going to study a little more. Two verses. Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. And y'all said amen. Y'all may be seated. Now, this is Father's Day. So we're going to honor the Father. Amen. And every father that gets honored should honor the Father.
Yes.
Pass it on. Your good stuff runs uphill, and the good stuff that comes from the Father comes downhill to you. If you do it correctly. Go back to the first verse. We're going to read all of the chapter of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. You're still going to honor the Word by your reverence, by your listening, paying attention to nothing but the Word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. First verse. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now, if you're going to read Revelation, you're going to have to listen to the key words so that you can stay on track. And he showed me a pure river of life. A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, where is pure coming from? Where is water coming from? Where is life coming from? Where is clarity coming from?
God.
All right. Throne of God and of the Lamb. Second verse. In the middle of its street, or the middle of its flow, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Now we have water of life and we have tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. How many of you know of trees that yield every month? So what the point being here is that we have something unordinary. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Now that's in the distant future, right? Do you remember in Genesis where it says that the river flowed from the throne of God? Out of the garden, into Eden, turned into four rivers, and watered the nation, the world. So if it was in Genesis, then we can't be talking about in a time frame that's not yet come. Okay? Verse 5. In this river, in this location, in this position being received from the throne of God, there shall be no night. There shall be no need, or they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Does the Lord God give us light?
Yes.
Okay. Now, right?
Yeah.
Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So Revelation was written yesterday, so we still haven't seen it come to pass yet, right? Our God didn't know when he said shortly take place.
He knew.
Verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. In case there's any question about who you should worship, we're going to clear that up right now. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets. And of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.
Yeah.
When we are to worship, who are we to worship?
God.
Okay. And he said to me, do not, listen to this carefully, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
Amen.
You know how we seal it? We seal it by saying Revelation is for the future. So it's sealed and closed until the future. The command of the angel, the Holy Spirit that was delivering this vision and word, was don't seal it. The time is at hand. 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. What gives us the tree of life? Obeying his commandments, or doing his commandments. So when we see loosey-goosey Christians that don't care anything about the commandments, we know they don't have access to the tree of life. There's one, two. All right. Are you going to be Christians? Are you going to be loosey-gooseys? All right. Then we say to those that are having problems, are you obeying the commandments? And if you're not, you don't have right to the tree of life. Okay. Verse 15. But outside are dogs. Okay, let me back up. Verse 14 again. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they have the right to enter through the gates into the city. But all the rest of them outside, that don't do his commandments, outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Every Christian should hate lies, and they should hate a liar. Because here they're called dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters. You got that?
Yeah, yeah.
My grandmother, I always remember, she said, a man that'll lie to you will steal from you, and a man that'll steal from you will kill you. Isn't that what that scripture just said? Okay. That's why I want everybody to be careful with what they say. What you say is either a lie or it's the truth, and it's not in between.
Right.
I'll say that again. Whatever you say is a lie or it's the truth. And just because you think it's the truth, don't make it the truth.
That's right.
That's why you need to be careful with it. 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Now, do you know when you're thirst, you don't say come, you go? Isn't that what that said? See, it says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. But if you're thirsty, come. Don't say, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Let him take, not be drowned by, take the water of life freely. This short message today is titled, My Father is a River of Life. My Father is a River of Life. And this message will not be done by my might or but my power, but by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Good. Now, I've got a picture that I want you to, you can see, everybody can see. This picture right here. What does that make you want to do? On a nice sandy beach? On a nice pretty ocean? What does it make you want to do?
Go
for it, right? Now, we've been right here. You remember this beach? It's on Kauai in Hawaii. You cannot park over here and walk over to this beach and not get in that water. You hear me? It's one of your kids telling them you don't call on Sunday morning. You cannot go to this beach and not get in that water unless something's wrong with you. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I am impressed with by reading this scripture is the fact that this is not a chore. This is an invitation to something that is great. This is a river. Remember that river? This river took us to a falls. We canoed for miles. But it was fun. And I don't care what anybody says, when I got to that falls, the guy that led us there couldn't believe how fast I got in it. You remember that? His statement says, look at him go. Can't believe it. Look at him. Straight into the water. I'm not going to stand and look at the water. I'm not going to look at a river of life and not jump in. Now, we just got told in the book of Revelation that all clear, pure, clean, real, true life comes from where? The throne of God, right? So if we have any need, where do we have to go? And if it's a beautiful place, and it only flows from Eden, it must be pretty, or the garden, we're in Eden, but the garden, then it must be an inviting thing.
Yes. Right.
And I'm afraid Christians stand on the outside of a river, or a falls, or a place of life, and say, isn't that interesting, rather than getting in.
Yes.
Now let me tell you, I've just painted you pictures so far, let me tell you where I'm going. I can line everybody up here. And I could ask you what your problem is. And then I could ask you what your solution is. And you'd tell me. And not one of you would mention a river. Not one of you would tell me it's a river. It dawned on me this morning that we believe that we know the solution to our problems. Therefore, we name them and we name the solution. If I can just get this done, we think our problem is solved. Whatever that blank you've just filled in. If I can get this done, then I'll have everything I need. Now come on. It's time to be honest. You know I'm telling you the truth.
Yep. Yes.
You've got some dream. You've got some picture. You've got something in your mind that's telling you that if I can just accomplish this thing right here, it may not be the last thing I ever accomplish, but it will put me on my way. And yet, we don't look at God and jump in as the solution.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to thinking about how many times I've looked at or become discouraged, whichever way you want to say it, just it's the same thing, at a situation and jump in a nice body of water to have the problem go away. Now, I don't know if you like water like I do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you need to learn to. But how that water absolutely takes away the problems. That's why I don't hesitate taking 3 showers a day if I want to. 4, I don't care. But there's going to be 2 because you can't keep wearing the problems. Whatever I had last night, I wash off in the morning. Whatever I got during the day, I wash off in the evening. I'm not going to bed with it. I'm sleeping with it. I'm not going to sleep with it. It's going to go. Why can't we do that spiritually?
Amen.
The problem is that the solution we picture is never the solution. Now, see, that really sounds simple standing here or sitting here. But did you ever come to the realization that the solution that I have dreamed up in my mind is not the solution? Well, now you got to go back and start rethinking everything. Come on. If I can take these vitamins, this bottle of vitamins, I'll get healthier. That's your solution? Vitamins? How about a river? How about if that would be better? Now, what did it say about the leaves in the middle of the river, on the side of the river?
Healing of the nations.
So I gotta get near the river or in the river to get some of this healing on me.
That's right, man.
I'd have a hard time putting it in me.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus does not live in you. God the Father does not live in you.
Right.
You got to get in Him.
Right.
Right?
Right?
If you're thirsty, come. If I could just get a new car. Man, if I could just, you know, if I could just own a home. All my problems. Oh, really? Evidently, you've never owned a home. Or a car. Never saw a car solve anything. Never saw a home solve anything. I could talk to Tanya, and she'd tell me if I could just get this business built. And you can see a twinkle in the eye, and you can see an excitement. When in reality, if you ever build a business, all you've built is more problems. You're not building solutions. Come on, Chuck, is that true or not? If I ever build a business, all I've ever built is more problems. And if I don't learn where the river is, I'll never be able to get out from under the problems. That business will own me. I will never own it. Chuck would tell me this morning, if I can just get another business going so I can double my problems. That's not what he would say. But I'm just, reality, without God, you're building on sand that's going to be an unstable foundation. It's going to be washed away.
Amen.
Richard would tell me, if I could just receive my sight, all my problems would go away. Oh, really? Now he's got to go to work. Now he's got to get a job. I know he wants a job, but now he's got to get a job. Now he's got to get a car. Oh, well. And I got to pay insurance. And I got to pay for the license plate. Oh, yeah, some solution you got. I'm not mocking any of these. We all have to have plans and dreams, and we all have to work for them. But I'm telling you, without the original tree of life, river of life, we have nothing. Not a thing. We need to learn what's being said here in the book of Revelation, which is this. Your solution is jump in the water. That can't be a solution. I thought we just read that. Did we not just read that? God's solution is to take the plunge.
Yes.
Not take the solution.
Amen. Yes.
Take the plunge. Don't go for the solution.
Amen.
I can go back there to Bob Heller. And he can say, if I can just sell these next five houses, I got it made in the shade. God would tell you, you're joking yourself. You're kidding yourself. Bob Eidelberger said, if I can just get one of these plans rolling, the ones that just keep straining my poor brain. You know what? God is the solution.
Yeah.
You might say of your spouse, if I can just get him straightened up or her straightened up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You better jump in the river with them.
Yep.
Then it'll all straighten up.
Yes.
God's solutions take the plunge. You know, I remember when I was, God put thoughts in my mind this morning, but I remember when I used to farm, especially in irrigation time, man, you'd have, about 8,000 gallons of water a minute. Now, do you understand what that is? 8,000 gallons of water a minute running. And if one of them broke, now that's four or five wells. But if one broke, you just created, it's like you getting just about framed and have the whole thing fall down. You don't just have a problem, you have a multiplied problem. Because you get out and get old black dirt and you step out on that stuff when it's muddy and you may drown.
Yeah.
You just can't throw a shovel and cover a hole because it's all soup. And I'd work harvest time the same way, man. You just work and sweat. And y'all don't understand this because you're from a foreign country. But you get to stinking. Your clothes sour on you. Y'all ever have anything sour? That means you sweat so much you can't dry out any and everything starts souring. Life is going sour. And I used to just take the stuff out of my pockets, pull my boots off, and find that big old irrigation tank that's about 10 foot deep and clear, pure crystal water. And you jump in that, clothes and all, and it didn't make any difference anymore. It was like life started over right at that minute. You didn't stink anymore. You weren't clammy because the water that you had on you was clear and clean. You hear what I'm saying? Sweat is not comfortable, but water is.
Yes. Yeah.
All the poisons and all the nonsense were washed away, and you get out like an old dog and you just shake a little bit and then go on about your work. Got rid of the itch and the chaff from the harvest? Absolutely. Stop itching and scratching and stinking. What's better? You know what? I was fulfilling my solution. Harvest time is the solution. If I can just get this out, I'll be wealthy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My work had to continue. And the way I did it had to continue the same way. But you know what happened? My outlook changed. My outlook changed. You know how important your outlook is? So one of the things that we can see is if we jump in the river of life, it changes our outlook. It also changed my health. Because, man, when you're about to go under from heat, and all of a sudden you go in water that's about 68 to 72 degrees, changes your outlook. Do you remember? That's what can happen during work. A plunge into the river of life just changes the way work looks. It changes from a sick drudgery to joy.
Yes.
We went to Acapulco one time. Don't recommend that. We did it. I'll tell you, don't do it. Went to Acapulco. Stayed in a nice hotel. Got in the hotel, the electricity went out. Had to climb up 12 floors or whatever it was to get into your room. Common thing in Mexico. Anyway, we decided to take a boat cruise so we could see all the movie stars' homes and everything from the ocean. Ocean's a joy. Got out on that water, and it's worse than South Texas. Hot. And 100% humidity. And you die. And we're from South Texas. We were living in Corpus. We were used to humidity, except we were dying. Now we're in the pleasure and joy of a vacation, and things are miserable. Now, I'm throwing this out to you because this is life. One is work, now we're on a vacation. And we're starting to wonder if we're going to get through with this cruise. And the captain stopped the boat one time, and I promise you, in 1 second I was in that ocean. The boat wasn't sinking, but I was. I got out of there, and I just swam away from the boat for a while and swam back. All of a sudden, it was a nice vacation. I was washing off the heat, that thing that you can't stand in your life. But you were on vacation. Oh, that keeps me cool. It's like all the remedies, like all of our solutions. What we plan doesn't always work. It didn't take her long to follow. I think most of the boat followed. It was hot. Enjoyed the rest of the day because now we're cool. We've been washed. I told you about that canoe trip in Kauai. We were rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. Well, okay, it was fun. Everything around was beautiful, enjoyable. But even in joy, I'm serious, we enjoyed the whole trip. But even in the joy, when I hit that waterfalls, it was better than joy. You understand what I'm saying? In one point in the canoe trip, a rain came. We got under these big old huge leaves and ate a little snack while the rain's hitting up. The rain was cool. It was nice. Don't forget what we're talking about. The water of life. Y'all don't enjoy it? You guys don't act like you've ever been in the water and enjoyed it. Y'all not getting involved mentally here. Patrick, you been in water?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
I remember the last time you were with us. You went down the bottom. You were just goofy. He was having fun. He was having so much fun when he came up. We had to tell him, you're having too much fun. You're burning too much air. You need to slow down. Did you have much worries while you were under the water? See, one of the things that you kept impressing me is when I'm in or under the water, I don't have any worries. I don't think I've ever thought about that before. I know that in Cozumel, that's what I was referring to when he was diving. I don't care if it's hot, I don't care if it's cold, I don't care if you're a little bit seasick, I don't care what is wrong with that day. When you get under that water, you forget it all. Now, Bob was having questions when he ran into that shark, but he was safe. He just didn't know it. He didn't know he could swim backwards, but he did. And the best thing of all, when you're on a boat like that, when you're in this world, and there's goofy people around you, and the sun's shining bright, and blah, 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 it's still fun, but nothing beats diving in. Off the second floor of that 40-foot Lionita, right in that water. And it just seems like everything changes. Now, if this is true physically, and it is, how it changes you mentally, if we could finally get the picture of diving into this river of God, we might have our attitudes. It's like rejoicing. It's the same thing as rejoicing. It's diving into an arena that takes away all your problems. Which is God. I see no other solution. It's God. The other day, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't remember what it was. It must have been earlier than Wednesday. No, it was Tuesday or Wednesday. We've been going through this lawsuit with a couple of wackos, a couple of defeated enemies they haven't figured it out yet. And we had decided that we were going to attend the deposition of those two people. Now, that's not anybody that thinks that's fun is out of their mind. That's the farthest thing from plunging into the water. You enter through into an arena full of attorneys and two liars. It's not a good place. But we had already decided that's what we were going to do. We got in a truck. We headed down the freeway. And my wife and I, we just said, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. I'm rejoicing to see the victory. We haven't seen it yet, but we're going to see it. Amen. And something phenomenal is going to happen, something very unusual. We don't know what it is, but we know that God's going to move, and it's going to be nothing we expect. Amen. You know what we said? It's going to be unearned and supernatural. Amen. See, anytime you're believing for something, understand, put the word unearned in there. That means you didn't work for it. You can't design it. Then God can do something.
Amen.
We said amen. How long was it?
Within 10 minutes or less.
It wasn't even 10 minutes. I bet you it wasn't 1 minute. We got a call saying, never mind, it's been canceled. They want to settle this thing out of court. Well, not only was that was unexpected, it didn't make a lick of sense because everything they'd done up to then didn't make any sense. And so we were rejoicing for an outcome we hadn't seen yet. We dove into the river of life through rejoicing. And all of a sudden, then we can see an outcome. Remember what I said last time? You got to see an outcome before you'll ever see an outcome. And my trouble is you can't design the outcome. Seeing the outcome means you know the outcome is complete. It's done. But you can't design it. I think our biggest problem is we try to design an outcome or a solution. Then we put our faith in that solution. And we miss the mark and we miss the mark and we miss the mark and we're not smart enough to figure out I better quit designing the solution. I better just expect the solution. I can jump in the ocean and enjoy it, but I didn't design the ocean. I can look forward to joy, whether it's a river, an ocean, swimming pool. I don't care what it is. I look forward to my hot tub every day. I didn't design it, but I enjoy it every day. Cool water washes on the outside. Hot water washes on the inside. Do y'all ever not have fun on a vacation? Patrick? Because why? Because you designed it. I promise you, you designed it. Whatever you didn't like about it, it was your doing. And Patrick says amen. And Karen says amen. Whatever you don't like about a vacation, it's your doing. If I am in the river of life, or if I'm rejoicing in God, it's the same term. I'm going to enjoy. What? What are you going to enjoy? Well, first I'm going to enjoy the fact that I don't have to design this thing. The hardest thing for anybody in here to accept, I refuse to design this. I refuse to speak a solution unless it's God.
Amen.
You remember that message I preached not too long ago? That every 5 minutes I said, what's the answer? God. Well, I'm just hitting it again. Well, now I'm putting one of the catch in it. You got to dive in. You got to take the plunge. And it ain't the nesty plunge.
That's right.
That's not the plunge. Plunge is not in refreshments. It's getting under.
Yes. Amen.
When I come up, I'm going to see trees with leaves full of healing.
Amen.
See, when it says healing for the nations, it's not just physical healing, Bill.
Amen.
When it says the nations, that includes everything that you touch. It's your finances. It's your health. It's your mental attitude. Remember when I said on the farm, get hot, you just dove in and you had a different outlook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your attitude in life changes with this dive.
Right.
Now, I just pointed out all these beautiful places that you can go to and dive in. But you go back to the book of Genesis and I'm in that beautiful place 24/7.
Amen.
Well, what all the bad stuff? No, no, no. See, you don't understand. When sin entered in, it turned bad. But I'm going to tell you point blank by study of the Word. The garden's still here.
Amen.
And it's still open. We're in Eden. We just need to enter the garden where this river begins. The head of the river. It's a spiritual place. It's not a physical place.
That's right.
Even though the Tigris and Euphrates is described as one that flows from that. That's two of the rivers. Pishon is one of them. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. When this has been the danger of putting heaven a million miles up in the sky is because we can't touch it. But if you will read your Bible and understand that there's an angel, there are angels posted guiding the way or directing the way to the throne of God in the garden, you're going to understand that we're being wooed and directed constantly to get out of a physical life back into a spiritual life, fellowshipping with in the cool of the day with God. That is a river of life. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Is this too deep for y'all? Too simple? Because if it's too simple, then let's go some places where there's nice water and let's jump in. And so you can get some reality. You go to our hotel in Cozumel, you lay on the beach, you get hot. Beautiful. You get hot. Just dive in.
Amen.
It's right there. It's right there. Isn't that what we do?
Mm-hmm.
Just step off and fall in. And all of a sudden, you're ready to go enjoy the sun and the sand and everything again. You're ready to get back to what you were doing. Ten, two, and four? Or do you need to set up your own time? How often should you take this diet?
Every day.
How often in the day? How was that 100 degree day the other day? Got one coming tomorrow, they say. How about when it's 110 in the spirit? When it's 110 and dry, you're thirsty. Well, what we do is we say, okay, rain. But the Bible says, come. Oh, well, Stan, there are not a lot of rivers in Colorado. There's one big one. Where is it? Throne of God. Right? How far is it to there? Not very far. Not very far at all. It's as close as me sitting on a beach chair in a hotel in Cozumel. It's closer than the ocean. And that usually takes a few steps. I don't even have to take a few steps. I can come without moving. I just got to move my spirit. It's too simple? That's all you're going to get, so you better get it. We need to stop trying to design our rewards. Our future and our rewards. Stop it. Is God speaking to you about where you've been doing that? Dive into the river of God where all is sure. Have our refreshing and have our outlook changed. I may hate what's going on around me, but I love God.
Amen.
Can I say that again? I may hate my position where I am right at this moment, but I can love God and I can dive into Him and He can make things look different.
Amen.
Well, that's just psychology. Oh, really? I thought I just told you over and over how it does change you. And this is just simple physical things. How much more in the spirit?
Yeah.
Our success is in the work. I mean, in the swim, not the work. Our success is in the swim, not the work. I'm going to say it again. Our success is in the swim,
Amen.
Not the work.
Amen.
Now, if my dad was here, he'd turn over in his grave or whatever, but I'm telling you, because he always thought work was the answer to everything. But I'm finding out that the play is where the work is accomplished. Y'all get that? We talk about praise. We talk about worship. Let me tell you something. That is fun.
Amen.
That's not work. That's fun.
That's right.
We went up to Blackhawk the other day to eat. And we did this to relax. Just shut the phone down and leave the house and just Connie and I, and we drive up slow. Some of y'all don't understand that. Just drive up slow. And it was comical because, and I don't know what the names of the road are, but the freeway that goes from three lanes down to one right there at the red light as you enter the canyon. Three lanes go into one. They go 3, 2, 1 quickly. And everybody, you can't go any more than 35, 40 miles an hour up that road because there's always somebody in front of you that won't let you. So anybody that's trying to hurry is a blooming idiot. They were born that way. They'll probably die that way. So here comes this little, we're in the middle lane, Putson. And here comes this little gold Honda on one side and this pickup on the other. And they're rushing to the red light. Does that sound like us? Nobody's looking for the river. They're looking for the solution. There it is. I got to get there. I got to get there. They don't enjoy on the way. And here they come, side by side, three. Now it's two lanes. Side by side, the Honda on the right, the big truck on the left. I'm going, this is interesting. Let's see what happens here. Now, Bob does the same way. I've ridden with him, and he'll gun it to get ahead of the car, and then he can't go anywhere. And I always wonder why he does that, but it's his car. But here they go. They're rushing for this single lane. One's trying to get ahead of the other. Why? Because they got a solution in their mind. It's stupid, but it's a solution. Now, this is a Honda against a big pickup. Wise people would understand who's going to lose. But there wasn't any wise, there wasn't any wisdom in both those trucks or cars. And so they get up to this single lane, and the Honda's going to push the car, the pickup, going to make him yield. Now, you and I know who's supposed to yield. The one with the lane ending's got to yield, and that was the right one. But he wasn't going to put up with that. He's going to make that truck yield so he could be this much closer to Black Hawk. That's the solution. I got to get there this much, this quicker, Harry. 1 second quicker than the car. Well, the truck said, no, you won't, and just ran him off the road. Well, that made the guy in the Honda mad. And it made the guy in the truck mad. They both got, I mean, the truck got what he wanted, but he's mad. Honda didn't get what they wanted, but they're mad because their solution wasn't what they wanted. See, their solution wasn't in a river of life. It was in their own product of their mind. Now I'm going, we're the next one. We just putz behind them. My wife's going to fall clear behind. I said, you keep your eye on this. You stay out. This is an entertainment for us. And we'll see what happens now. And so we're going along, and I prophesy a little bit. I said, here's what's going to happen now. The next passing area, that Honda is going to pass that truck, or is going to try. And that truck's going to keep him from it. You watch it. Sure enough, man. Now the cool part was is that the Honda thought he could push the truck up the hill by getting about that far from the bumper. Now, come on. Let's relate in our life how we think.
Yep.
If I push this truck, I'll get there faster. The truck didn't push. He slowed down. Every time the guy would get closer, he'd slow down. And I'm going, Honda, you need to learn something here. He didn't learn anything. So here he comes. He's wrapping his rubber band up tighter and tighter. You know that's what you do in a Honda. You wrap the rubber band tighter. And he just wrap it up and wrap it up. And here comes this one spot where he could get around. And the truck goes, hum. And I'm sorry, Hondas are not going to outrun too much. I don't care if you put a muffler that big and make it go, yeah, it's not going to outrun too much. And he didn't. And he didn't learn anything. Now they're both in turmoil. The winner and the loser, they're all in turmoil. We're having a show. But this is funny. Because we're basking where the leaves of healing are.
Yeah.
And they're fighting.
Yeah.
Then they get to the two lanes where they can pass. Truck's not letting him pass. Truck was going to make this guy eat dirt all the way to Black Hawk. He's going to show this guy. Well, what did he show him? Can't pass the truck. I guess. Now, when we got up there, I told Connie, I said, you see the problem here? They're going up to have some fun. So they get their stomachs in knots all the way up there, which probably 40, 45 minutes. I don't know how long that takes. They're both in just. Why? Because neither one of them got their desired solution. Now, come on. How many of you have had knots in your stomachs because you didn't get your desired solution? We had made up our minds to just bask in this river. One of the things, the river runs by the road. You can just enjoy that if nothing else. We were entertained by the enemy at their cost. We didn't have a worry or care. We just had a little chuckle. You know what? Let's you and I make a decision that it's a lot smarter to swim than be laughed at.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Then in our rejoicing, when we catch ourselves grumbling and graveling and entertaining somebody else, let's just go swimming. Come on, how many of you know that you get laughed at? You get laughed at when you do dumb things? So you don't get laughed at when you're swimming. People want to go swimming with you. You only get laughed at when you're out on there on the beach and you won't go in. That's when people say, what's wrong with him, man? Don't they know how good it is in here? Our success is not in the work. It's in the swim. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, I would challenge you today, again, tied again with last week's message about rejoicing. One other picture. When you recognize that your goal or your in life has not been recognized, has not been accomplished. When you finally understand that it seems like that everything you've touched has fallen apart. And even in those areas when you've had financial success, just not satisfying. I didn't end up where I thought I'd end up. That if we understand that the solution is rejoice in the Lord. And if we're rejoicing in the Lord, then what we're going to do is understand that that means jump into His solution, which is just take a swim in the river of life. Shade yourself with the trees of healing, the leaves of healing. It has to be at the throne of God. It can't be anywhere else. Even though physically you can go swimming and get refreshed, but spiritually you can't. Are you understanding me? Whatever is worrying you, whatever situation you've got yourself into, you just can't get out. Well, you just haven't found the right swimming hole. You haven't. Whatever things we built up in our mind and said, if I could just get this done. And God says, if you just come go swimming. Just come go swimming. That doesn't sound bad, does it? Sounds good to kids. Why can't we be that kind of kid in the spirit? Swim in the hole. Let's go. I was thinking about that this morning. When I was a kid, it didn't make any difference if it was a mud pit. Those irrigation ditches when I was a kid, you could jump in that thing. It was mud bottom, but you just take and flow in the river. I don't care if that ditch was a mile long. You just go. That'll find me when I finally get to the end. He'll come looking for me. I'll just go. Can we get like little children? That bodies of water are not an obstacle to cross their way into and out of reality? What we deem as reality? They're the answer to our problems and our solutions? Can anybody picture God being river of life? Can you do that? It should help you knowing that the river flows from His throne. That means the water comes out of Him. What kind of water? Life? Clarity? Purity? Isn't that what we just read?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Just right now, where you sit, quietly with your eyes shut, I want you to commit to God to go swimming. God, we want to swim in Your health and prosperity, but most of all, in Your peace that passes all understanding. But You've given Connie and I and several in here the privilege of going diving. We find out that underwater it's calm and it's peaceful. And I've thought many a time I could take a nap down here real easy. Real easy. I don't hear any problems. I don't feel any problems. I don't see any problems. I just see the beauty that God has created. Teach us, Lord, to commit ourselves to that kind of beauty and understanding. The Bible says to us, consider the sparrow. He doesn't toil. He doesn't worry. But you know where every one of them are. How much more so your children? I'll say it again. How much more so your children? Give us, by your Spirit, the reality that we're a million times more valuable than a sparrow. You know every problem, You know every situation. You knew it before the foundations of the earth. In Christ Jesus, you took care of it. That's why it says the throne of God and Jesus. Teach us by our conversation, by our thought processes, to give that shout of rejoicing right before we go under. That we don't divide them. That we picture ourselves as a young person on a diving board. And we dive. And in the air we rejoice and go boom. We go under. Hallelujah. When we come up, we're washed. We're healed. We're cleansed. We have a smile on our face. We have a breath, a fresh outlook. We become that little child of God that has no worry in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I look pretty good there. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Everybody see that? Or does somebody in here need some help? Anybody in here need some help seeing that? I'm not making this up because it sounds good. I read it to you in the scripture. Holy Spirit, I ask you to do what you said you would do, and that is remind these your people of what you've told us today. Be diligent in bringing our worrisome noses back to the water. Our worrisome, dirty, stinky minds back to the water. Cleanse us in your purity, your righteousness, your holiness. Give us a fresh view of the real world instead of the one we think is real. I want that, Lord, in my life. I want that. A spiritual life, not tainted or soured by the things of this world. Praise you, Lord. I am thirsty, and I come. I am thirsty, and I come in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Let's make every day the Father's Day. Please Him and enjoy the temple. Everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Amen. Y'all are dismissed.